World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, had a pretty busy 24 hours. Great night's sleep last night. I feel refreshed this morning and getting victory over that stuff that's been making me sore. I actually walked around a little bit yesterday, so praise the Lord, we're back on top of it again. Hey, just got a lot to cover. Got a lot to cover today. Friends, yesterday, this is just from the old Coach Dave's standpoint, I think I was one of the most powerful, best explanation of pro-life. I thought it was really good. And we've turned it into Spencer turned it into about a 30-minute clip. And he's going to put that in the chat. And Spencer, we want to email that out to everybody. We'll write up something. We want to email that clip out to everybody. Because I think there's just a lot to be learned there about the argument and what we call apologetics. And apologetics is not apologizing. I'm not apologizing for Christianity. Apologetics means a defense of. And I think it was a really, really great, it's about 30 minutes, I think, segment of explaining, defending the faith, defending life. And I would just encourage all of you to share it with others. Because the average Christian doesn't get it, still doesn't get it. And we're in the mess we're in today because Christians are some of the dumbest people on the face of the earth in regards to things that we ought to be some of the smartest about. Spiritual things, right? The lies of the enemy. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. So listen, it's Jesus that called us ignorant. Was that Paul? You're not to be ignorant of his devices. And Christians are the ones who're supposed to be the valedictorians of his devices. We should understand his devices better than anybody. But we don't. Why? Because when you go to church, you're not trained in righteousness. We're not trained in it. We are not trained in it. You get a sermon on 10 ways to be wealthy and 10 ways to be happy, 10 ways to be friendly and 10 ways to love everybody, but never ever understand that it is a war and we are sitting in the middle of a war that is raging all around us, and the saints are not equipped, as the Bible says, for the works of the ministry. I was thinking today as I was doing some show prep, I was thinking about, golly, so many different directions that we could go from a Christian perspective that Christians don't understand. Why don't we understand the perspective? Why don't we understand that for the most part, some of the most important decisions made in our lives are solely based on our emotions? You'd agree with that, wouldn't you? And then the next question is, what are the emotions? Or better yet, where'd they come from? Where'd emotions come from? You ever heard somebody say, oh, I got my dad's temper? How do you get your dad's temper? What does that mean? You ever heard somebody say, well, you're just like your mother. Oh, Michelle, you remind me so much of your mother. Well, why? Well, because things she acts and says and does and emotes. At some point, we have to be able to separate emotions from truth. And we talked about the abortion debate yesterday. That's part of what the problem was. They let emotions get involved with it rather than truth. Is that a little baby or not? And if it's a little baby or not, is there ever a reason to kill it? Why would anybody think that there's a reason to kill that baby other than emotion? I don't want to get down that trail, but boy, oh boy, there's a lot to go down there. There's a lot to go down there. Two things. We're going to talk a little bit, Gary's in. We're going to talk about, we got some movement down in hurricane country. But before we get there, Spencer, if you could pull up what's called Cowboys Picks. I just want to thank all of you for trusting us here at Coach Dave Live. I want to tip my cap, especially to Jeff Klein up there for all the stuff he's done. This is a box truck that we were able to secure. And there's a load of stuff in the back of that box truck. You couldn't get any more in it. Show the next picture. We did this yesterday. All this stuff, because of you and your donations, is heading with Cowboy Dave today to Swananoa, something like that. Hey, Spencer, go real quickly, if you could, to my Facebook page, because I want you to see this. I'm sorry. Hey, folks, stay with me. Stay with me. We're going to do this more and more. Now that we have our own truck, that's an unbelievable story that Jeff Klein, God bless Jeff Klein and all he does to improve. This isn't real long. This is us yesterday. There's Cowboy Dave. Cowboy Dave. He may be even watching this morning. And Cowboy Dave is going to take this truck and he's going to drive it down. He's been down there, so he knows where he's going. Just want to know. He's one who got all his stuff stolen from him. He slept in a tent, kept all his stuff in a tent, and now he can secure it in his truck. But even better than that, we're fixing up one of our campers that I have, and Dave is going to have a camper. We're going to drive that camper down to him, and Dave's going to be able to sleep in a camper, in a bed, and secure all of that. So that's up ahead of us. Well, I just want you to just kind of hear a little bit of Cowboy Dave's heart. Go ahead, everybody.
First thing I take, so for them to be able to get this up.
Oh, everybody, me. There's cases and cases. Sound is really bad on this. I'm sorry. I don't know why.
Okay. Hey, folks, I'm doing a Facebook Live here. I want you to see what all those out there who support us at Pass Assault Ministries, Coach Dave Live. This truck here, we've just, thanks to JC's Auto in Mount Vernon, Ohio, we've acquired this truck so that we can make trips back and forth down to the hurricane area. And we're partnering with Cowboy Dave. His ministry is Hearts Hurt. And there's Dave, right? Dave and his wife. Here's a truckload of stuff that we are sending down there. Now, Dave, hey, Dave, tell us what's going on here. They're all looking at you. Where are you taking this, Dave?
Swananoa. There's a tent city that has developed directly on the other side of the banks of the river, Swananoa River, that we're 1/8 mile upstream. All the campers at the KOA camp down KOA, they washed down where I am, and the whole trailer park that was dissolved. Anyway, they told the homeowners they can't rebuild and they can't work on their land, and they said, watch us. So we've gotten them provisions and tents, but this is going to the people that are either living in tents or still in the mountains, where 1/8 mile from my camp, the helicopters fly every day, all day long, and at night if the weather cooperates. Still today, I haven't been back for a few days, but still when I left, bringing either people in or supplies out.
Okay, you can cut it off because I don't want to make it about this. But folks, I want you to know, we were able, the help of Jeff Klein, this truck is unbelievable. We were able to get that truck for about $3,000, and Jeff did some work on it, did some repairs on it. We've got about $4,000 invested in this truck that we now don't have to go to Ryder and rent a truck. We don't have to waste all that money. This truck can run back and forth with loads down to Dave, who's going to be staying in a camper that we have, and we're getting a motor ready so he can go down there. He's on the ground down there, folks. Cowboy Dave, Hearts Hurt is his ministry. Cowboy Dave is going to be down there through the first of the year, if you can believe that, through the first of the year, down there serving those people. So we found somebody to feed here. I know and trust Cowboy Dave. And so we found somebody to feed. In addition, I want you all to know this, that Pass Assault Ministries yesterday, because of you guys, put $5,000 check in Dave's hands. So this ain't going to, that we know these guys. This is an extension of us on the ground there in Swananoa, which is the heart of it, man. So I'm going to get Gary in here real quick. Look, I don't want to make this show about this, but this is the only place we have to discuss it. So I'm going to let Jeff come in, and I'm going to let Gary talk about a plan that we got going forward. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, I'll just say it looks like we'll probably be able to fill that truck at least once a month or twice a month with that stuff. So
probably faster.
That's why he was crying.
Yeah, because he doesn't have a truck. He puts stuff in his van and drives it down there and stores it in a tent, and then they steal it from him in the middle of the night. And that's why he was so excited about it, because this is life to him, man. So we want you to know we're doing good stuff with your money. We just want you to know that we're doing good stuff with it. Gary, come in and help us out here and explain kind of what we're heading towards here.
Okay. Thank you, Coach. Hey, we have partnered up with a group, Baptists on a Mission. They have ability to house us, to give us a place to sleep. They can feed us, and they can give us showers, and they can do laundry. So this is a great place. It's in Weaverville, North Carolina, which is the next town just north of Asheville. So we'll be in a place that's definitely been devastated. They're allowing us to come down. They say they got room for us starting the week of the 11th through the 15th. And we need to give them a list of people. I need to give them this.
So if you want to have a life-changing experience, set aside some days and go with us down to North Carolina. It's reconstruction, maybe cutting trees, maybe moving stuff around. So we know this. Sorry, Gary. We know this. As I predicted a month ago, all of a sudden the enthusiasm's running low and people aren't coming down anymore. And this is when they need people the most right now. Well, not the most, but they have a need for people right now. And I know Betty's down there, and Betty can tell us the exact same thing, that the number of volunteers is beginning to diminish. Go ahead, Gary.
Okay, so right now they are doing a lot of debris removal and are in need of chainsaw gangs, so that we're very familiar with that. But they are in the process of starting to muck out buildings and starting to reclaim some buildings. So there's a transition of the type of work we'll be doing. Now, we have a group of people already that's volunteered, that's made themselves known to go down. So I'm going to put that list together, formalize it, and we can send people down both weeks, the week of the 11th and the week of the 18th. But what I need from those of you who want to go, that how many days you're going want to be staying, because they're going to be providing the food and lodging. So they just need to make sure they have enough room for everybody. And invite others if they have excess room. But I need to know how many days that you're willing to stay. They'll take as many. You can stay through the weekend. You can stay into the next week. Not all of you can go the first week. So if you need to go the second, fine. Doesn't matter, but I need to have that clarified.
Gary, let me stop a second, because I hear people saying, well, I thought we're supporting Cowboy. We are, but where Cowboy is, there's no place for us to sleep and minister. There's no place there, right? So that's why he's going there, and then we're finding another location where we can go help. So, sorry, go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, Swannanoa is one of the places I checked with and had some connection to, and they said, no, we can't take it this time to house people, to house a group of 15 or 20. So. Yeah, this church. It reminds me a lot of where Grindstone was. It's a small church. This town has less than 5,000 people. So you're going to be going into the small rural town environment. So what I have is an email that needs to go out to all the people who have volunteered. It explains everything. Gives you a list of items to bring, reminder list. So I can answer questions of any that may have, but
Okay, so Gary, we're not going to do that now. So friends, here it is. Gary, when are we going down? If you're interested in going down and having a life-changing experience helping these people, when are we going, Gary?
Beginning November 11th. We should be on site the 10th. The 10th or 11th. I guess we can come down in any time, but if you come in the 10th, then we start work on the 11th, and we can work for 2 full weeks without question right now, and with as many people as we can get together at this point.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Amen.
Huh? Hang on here. I'm doing something else. I just thought of.
Now, one thing we do when we go down, we will need to have a lead person for each team that goes down. For the first week, for the week of the 11th, we'll need a lead person that needs to be responsible for the team.
We're kind of getting in the weeds now.
Okay.
We'll find one of those. We'll find one of those.
All right.
Yeah, we're working out the details there.
Yeah, give us those dates again, Gary.
The 11th of November through the 22nd.
Now, two different groups. It could be two different groups. We're not expecting some of you to stay 2 weeks, but maybe 4 days 1 week and then another group for 4 days. Or if you want to go down both of them, you can do it.
You can stay as short or as long as you want.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, cool.
But I need to know how many days you're going to be staying so that we can figure out all the sleeping arrangements and number of meals required. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. So I want to show you something else. Spencer, I just sent you another picture. I forgot I took this picture. Did you get it, Spence? That's what we're fixing up for Cowboy Dave to be able to stay in. He'll have a toilet in there. He'll have running water in there. He can drive that thing. He'll be safe. And again, folks, this is all that was donated to our ministry. Craig Mickle was kind of behind getting that for us. Maybe we paid a little bit of money for that. But I'm sitting there yesterday, and I'm watching Cowboy, tears running down his face, and I'm thinking, you dummy, put him in the camper. So we're gonna take that thing down there for him as well. Thanks to Mike Blake, who's going to help me, and everybody out there that's doing stuff behind the scenes. I want you to know we appreciate it all. Timing's good, right? I knew at the beginning this timing is going to happen, that we're going to be a transition. Thanks to Gary for always doing. Gary, didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to move on. Right now, anybody have a question? Now's a good time to have a question before I move forward. If you want to do it now. I'll give you a second. I heard one pop up. Betty, go ahead, Betty.
Hopefully you'll get me long enough. I am down here in North Wilkesboro. And boy, the stuff has been coming out and the stuff has been going, you know, coming in and going out. And they need volunteers. They need razors. I put a list of really some of the necessity stuff they needed. And I've been living in my truck. I finally got a shower yesterday at one of the hotels from a friend. So it was 5 days. But it's been rewarding and emotional because they come in. Some of these people live in these tents and stuff and don't have nothing. It's tough. It's a sight to see. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll be here till Friday and then I'll head back home. But thank you for everybody that donated. And thanks to Fred for helping with a U-Haul. I wouldn't have been able to bring all that stuff down. So God bless. And thank you, Coach.
We're going to keep more going. That's one thing Jeff's going to do. And that's why we now have the truck that we can drive back and forth. We don't have to rent a truck from somebody, whatever. And just a tip of the cap to Jeff Klein for all the he's done to make this whole thing happen. Moderator, come on in.
Okay, I just have a question. I got a tractor with a grapple. I mean, do they want any equipment down there to help get in there and remove? You know, I don't know.
Probably. I don't know. We'll find out on that, okay? We'll find out. Thanks. Mary Beth.
I just want to say thank you to the Lord for that all this happened. And I just pray protection. And I declare and decree protection over all you guys and ladies that go down there, including myself. I hope that happens, you know, Lord willing. And also, I know they're going to need help for like years to come. So I'm glad you're reminding people about that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Coach.
Well, our needs are immediate, right? Immediate needs right now. And I've been saying from the beginning, this goes in several stages. The rescue stage, appears the rescue stage is probably over. The cleanup stage, and then the reclamation, trying to rebuild and all that. Now, I think we're in the beginning, we're in segment two, where now they're trying to figure out where do we go from here. A lot of them don't even have homes. In fact, where was that clip I showed? Gary, go to my, Spencer, go to my Facebook page again. Scroll down, because there was a meme yesterday that I couldn't believe. I want you guys to see this. Scroll down. Look at that. Look at, folks, read this. Hurricane Helene, 1,893 landslides, 126,000 homes damaged, 1,000 bridges and culverts damaged, 6,000 miles of road, 160 water and sewage systems, and $53 billion in damages in North Carolina alone. That's staggering, isn't it, folks, huh? You don't just rebuild something like that. Cool. All right. Mary Beth's hand's back up. Good. Anybody else for the good of the group before I dive into something here I want to show you? Go ahead, Mary Beth.
Just one more quick thing. God is going to restore tenfold that which was stolen from us.
That's what it says. That's what it says. We had a great prayer meeting last night. I want to tip my cap again to Ray to keeping that thing going. And Chad came in and did a great job being the moderator. Nobody came in and played porn or anything on this last night. Like they did before. So it's all good. Hey, I had a chance yesterday. Went up to Mount Vernon, Ohio, which is about 35 miles up the road for us. Don Trump Jr., Bernie Moreno, they were there in a rally. Donald Trump Jr., you got really close to them. I mean, they were right there. What, maybe 500, maybe 1,000 people over there. But you know the most staggering thing from me? Lindsey Graham was there. Lindsey Graham, who did everything he could to undermine Donald Trump, was one of the speakers yesterday. Huh? See, this is what they call a bandwagon. You guys understand what a bandwagon is? Everybody wants to get on the bandwagon once it's heading in the right direction. And Lindsey Graham is smart enough to know that Donald Trump's going to be president again. And he wants to make sure he's on the inside of that baby. And I got to tell you something. Yeah, Roger. I won't say that, Roger. I'll say this. I trust that guy about as far as I could pee him. And I can't pee very far. So politics makes strange bedfellows, doesn't it? Strange bedfellows. But it was good because Kim was able to go there and hand out some of her literature. And we had a group of about five of us there. And It was all good. You know what else? I found some Coach Dave Livers up in Mount Vernon. Several people came by. Hey, I watch your podcast. Oh yeah, cool. So that was good for my ego. Go ahead, Jeff, real quick.
Real quick, and they got to see us standing down in front of the steps. And I said last night, thank you to Coach. We sold item hats in 15 minutes. We sold 36 hats at $10 a piece. We were taking in $10 bills, throwing out hats. Coach was helping. It was a madhouse out of hats in about 10, 15 minutes. So yep, thanks.
Yep, yep. You know what I said? We're just trained SEALs. The American populace is trained SEALs. Now, I want you to hear me. I trust the Republican Party about as far as I trust Lindsey Graham. I want you to know this. As you look at me, I am not a Republican supporter. I'm not. And that's one of the things that they've done a great job of, making us choose a team. And I'm going to tell you this. If you sat down with the average Democrat voter, you would find that they pretty much think like you. They all do. But what the media is great at is forcing us into camps, the pro-life camp, the pro-homo camp, the pro-Israel camp. They force you into a camp. They whittle it down to what is your most important issue, and then they put you in that camp. And you would find out that a lot of people who are on the other side really agree with you. The Democrats don't want little boys losing their penises. They don't want that. But they've been what the word we use. They've been boogied into thinking that that's all about choice and personal rights and all this kind of stuff. The devil's done such a great job of muddying the issue that people, they can't even agree. Everybody just wants a safe country and a good economy and the right things being taught and good treatment of one. We all want the same thing. Really, when it gets right down to it, yeah, there are exceptions. Yeah, there are weirdos on both ends of it. But for the most part, the middle, they all want the same thing. Now, we run into problems because a guy like me, I say, look, I want the same thing as you, except I want a baby to be able to live, and you want a baby to die. Well, other than that, can I say it? I think we ought to get our children out of public schools. You think public schools are good. Okay, should that divide us? And we're divided over a multitude of issues. And that's why I'm telling you, there is a reframing going on in the American politics right now. I'm going to say it again. For me, this is not about Donald Trump. It's about a clear rejection of current Republican leadership. Would anybody disagree with that? It's about a clear rejection of current Republican leadership. This is not, although it is Donald Trump, Donald Trump is the only guy that everybody thought they could get behind to somehow overthrow that government slime in Washington, D.C. And I'm going to tell you this. There are a lot of Democrats who are on our side, but they've been brainwashed. They are not the enemy. They're not the enemy. They've been brainwashed. They don't watch Coach Dave live. That's their problem. So I'm encouraged. I continue to be encouraged. And I want you to be encouraged as well. So can I dive into some stuff? Anybody have, maybe it's just open phone. Anybody got anything else they want to say at this point? Give you a minute to come in here. Give you a minute. Because we don't know. Okay, what? Go ahead. Nope.
Nope. Keep going.
Okay, thanks, Chad. Chad did keep going. Well, we're going to keep going here. Okay, so I want to pull up. Oh, I got so much. Pull up. Let me click a moment so I can look at it. This blew me. This is really, really good. Really good. Remember, the Bible tells us, maybe you don't remember, I probably ought to pull the scriptures in. Evil men have crept in unaware and changed the truth of God into a lie. And worship and serve the creature more than the creator. It's happening everywhere we look.
John F. Kennedy,
for there it is. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now that's a crazy sentence. What would it mean to be ordained to this condemnation? Hey, Spencer, real quickly, what's ordained? What's Mr. Webster say ordained is? Bear with me, folks. Ordain. Properly to set, to establish in a particular office or order, to invest, to appoint, to decree. Jeroboam ordained a feast. To set, to establish, to institute. So there are certain men who have been established, set apart, established to be in control. That's what it says here. Men of old set to this condemnation. They're ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord God into lasciviousness. Say, Coach, that's a big word. What the heck does that mean? Lasciviousness. That means without restraint. Feeding your fleshly desires without restraint. That's lasciviousness. So now we've seen that the gospel of the kingdom of God is all about love, 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 love. And if you criticize anybody or anything, you're not loving. And so as a result, our men of God will not stand in the pulpit and rail against homosexuality. Rail against sodomy and rail against abortion and rail against adultery and rail against these things. Because why? The entire Christian ideal has been infiltrated.
Boom.
And what did he warn us of? These guys were going to, they were going to sneak in. The devil placed them, ungodly men. And he took the grace of our Lord. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus forgives everybody. Blah, 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 and turn it into lascivious. Hey, Spencer, maybe we better let people read it because they don't want to trust but verify. What is lasciviousness? What is it? We'll tell you it's without restraint. Lasciviousness. Lascivious. What is that? Huh? Looseness. A tendency to excite lust and promote irregular indulgences. Huh? Wow, 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 wow. So I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to have to do it to you. All right? So I've been, this has been on me for a couple of days, and I'm sorry. Two things. Let's go to number 12. Go to number 12. Does God hate? Does God hate? I mean, come on. Hang on, Spencer. Hang on. Let's go back, Spence. Let me see which one that was. Pull up types of emotions. Did you know that hate is a type of emotion? And do you know, as you sit out there one day, say, well, Coach, I never thought about it. What are the emotions? What are the human emotions? And where, by the way, where'd they come from? The monkeys, we learned those from monkeys, where we got those, the evolutionary process. So there's six types of basic emotions and their effect on human behavior. That's why I said the other day, women emote. Women are, they're different, they're made different. Women operate more often by emotions. And if we're not careful, that's all the commercials, when you're watching the political commercials, they're all based at your emotions. They want you to watch. They want the Democrats play commercials. They want you to hate Trump. And the Republicans play commercials and they want you to hate whatever. It's all about divide, right? Playing on your emotions. We all know this, that a very well done commercial hits your emotions. And when you are emoting, you are not always rational. Spencer, what does it mean to emote? Go back to the Webster. Go back to what? Emotion or emote. Doesn't have it? Try emotions. Emotion is literally a moving of the mind or the soul. Hence, any agitation of mind or excitement of sensibility. Huh, it's good, isn't it? Literally a moving of the mind. You see something and you react. That's an emotion. And it's not that emotions are bad. Used properly. Emotions, remember that when you were a kid, when your dad spanked you, he said, it's going to hurt me more than you. Well, it did emotionally, but he had to overcome the emotion for the good of me. He didn't want to do it, but he had to do it for the good of me. It's like, I'll never forget when I had to call, I won't say the kid's name, when I had to call him into the football office after two football games, say, sorry, you're no longer the quarterback. I really felt bad for him. I didn't want to say it. I did. But for the good of the team, I couldn't let my emotions control me. I had to make the decision that was best for the team. So here's the six types of emotions. Just run down them real quickly. Six basic emotions. Now you let the psychologist, the pop psychologist, get involved with it. You end up someplace else. Scroll down, Spence, real quick. Six types of emotions. Number one. Keep going. Basic emotions. There they are. Okay, there's your basic emotions. Happiness, sadness, fear, disgust, anger, and surprise. These are the basic emotions. Now, there's a lot of play off of it, but I want to ask you something. Does God get angry? Yes. Is God, when we find ourselves approving or ignoring or casually walking away from something that is abhorrent to God, is God over there tapping his foot? Does God get angry? Huh? Okay, I heard that, Lord. Lord said, Holy Spirit said to me, not only does he get angry, but he hates. What?
Coach, can I say he gets even in a way? He gets even?
Huh? Well, no, you can't say that. No, because he doesn't get even.
Okay.
He is even.
He just gives justice. Yeah.
He gives justice. He doesn't get even. Vengeance is mine. Vengeance is not the same as revenge. Spencer, pull that word up there. Vengeance, not revenge. That's a different word. Vengeance is mine, the Lord said. I will repay. So vengeance is the affliction of pain on another in return for an injury or offense. In other words, you're going to reap what you sow. It's a natural law. Vengeance is mine. Revenge is getting evil, getting even. God ain't trying to get even. He is inflicting pain for something you did. It's a natural consequence. He set it up. And isn't it amazing how often in our emotions we're conflicted by what we know we need to do and our emotional response to not wanting to do it? Oh, that's powerful. It's good stuff we're sharing right now. So, Spence, go to, what did I just say you had it up there before? I know what I want up there. I'm behind it. Pull up, which one is it? 30, about the very last thing, the very last thing. Do you guys know God has enemies? Do you know that? When's the last sermon you had on God's enemy? Or you're going to your church and God's telling you to love, or pastor's telling you to love everybody, forgive everybody, yada, yada. And we are, right? Did you know God has enemies? There's 30 Bible verses, 30 of them. For many walk of whom I've told you and tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross. For if while we were enemies, for Paul said, while we were enemies, Spencer, sorry, what's an enemy? What did Mr. Webster say an enemy was? I love the English language. An enemy is a foe, an adversary, right? A way to love. See, one who hates or dislikes. When I'm in a football game, coaching a football game, the other team is the enemy. And I hate them. But not personally. I don't hate them personally. I'm smart enough to realize they were stupid enough to play for West Jeff. I feel sorry for them. But I hate them with a perfect hatred. And what have they told us in an American culture? You're not allowed to hate. You're not allowed to hate. We're enemies of God. Hey, number four. Hey, you adulteresses. Slide on down, James 4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whosoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God? Are we hearing this in our churches? Are we hearing this? That those of us, I'm sorry, those of us, those who are not of the family of God are an enemy of God. Why don't we talk about this stuff? The Luciferians are an enemy of God. Those who want to cut off the penises of little boys, they're the enemy of God. Why don't we say, why are, because see, they've convinced us that the greatest thing you could ever do is love somebody. Love. Well, somewhere in here, if I kept reading, it would say that Jesus, God hates with a perfect hatred. Hey, screen, pull that one up there, Spencer. Where is that one? Where is that one? God hates with a perfect hatred. Where is that? Anybody know where that is? I thought God's love. I thought he's love, Coach Dave. God, what's it say? Hey, I'm sorry if you've never heard any of this stuff. I'm sorry if you think I'm crazy. I'm just reading the Bible. Psalm 139, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Hey, Vinny. Give me a boom. But see, we don't understand hate.
Boom.
I don't hate people. I hate what they do. I hate the consequences of their behavior. I wish that all of them would come to the knowledge of the truth. But until they are enemies of the cross. Folks, do you get it? I'm going to pause a minute and say, Coach, I ain't never heard anything like this. Go ahead and say it. Somebody make me feel good. I never heard anything like this.
Amen.
Huh? Right. The greatest thing. Oh, my goodness. Somewhere in that Bible, it says that you're going to love the things the Lord loves and hate the things the Lord hates. Well, there's seven things the Lord hates, isn't there? We could run down through them. Whew. Wow. Lord, do I go there yet? I'm looking up here. So here's what's happened. Pull up 5A. Pull up 5A. Mel Gibson. I'm ambivalent on Mel Gibson. I'm gonna surprise you here a second. He's an actor. The guy you see on the screen isn't the real Mel Gibson. You get that, don't you? Clint Eastwood ain't Dirty Harry. Clint Eastwood plays Dirty Harry. Well, okay? Because we have a tendency to look at these people and think of his movie. What was it, The Patriot? Was that his movie? That ain't Mel Gibson. There's Mel Gibson. Right there's Mel Gibson. Probably has bad breath. Probably passes gas. Probably hates. Probably drinks too much beer. He's a guy just like me and just like you. But we like to take guys like this and put them on a pedestal. Right? But Mel Gibson knows something that the rest of us haven't figured out yet. And I'm not picking just on the Catholic Church. But listen what Mel Gibson says about the Catholic Church. Go ahead.
And how are we supposed to know the good guys from the bad guys? Well, we were given a standard by which to judge them. You know, by their fruits, you'll know them. By their fruits. Anybody seen any good fruit lately? No. It's tough. And look, I'm a pretty sinful guy. I mean, I'm as venal as the next guy. But I know the difference between a shepherd and a hireling. And I think that the vast majority of these bishops are just a bunch of hirelings, you know. And my question is, you know, like, who's hiring them? I don't think it's Jesus. Is it Francis? Who's hiring Francis? Is it Pachamama? I mean, I think you need to look at the whole institution. And, you know, I'll quote Archbishop Vigano again. In saying that he believes that there was a parallel counterfeit church set up to eclipse the real one. He's suggesting usurpation or an inside job. It seems that way. Anyway. And how are we?
Evil men crept in unaware and changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. That's right there. Mel Gibson can figure it out, right? I mean, that's he reading the script. That's actually him thinking and saying something. Huh? And folks, how much has that happened? Oh, Lord, do I have to show that? Do I have time to go there? I only got 15 minutes. I want to talk about that so bad, Lord. I'm going to avoid it till tomorrow. Pull up number 5. Give you some ammunition today. Pull up number 5. The Catholics got it all wrong. The Baptists got it all wrong. The Presbyterians got it all wrong. No, that's not what I want. That's not what I want. Which one am I looking at here? It's probably my fault. No, that's not what I want. What did I say I wanted to bring up? Number 5, COVID. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. This came out, folks. Most devastating report so far. I'm not going to take time to read it all. The House report on HHS COVID propaganda. The House report. The investigation the House has done on COVID propaganda is devastating. The Biden administration spent almost $1 billion to push falsehoods about COVID vaccines, boosters, and masks on the American people. The pharma company had run the campaign, it would have been fined out of existence. So in other words, the Biden administration did the dirty work of the pharmaceutical companies. That's what this whole report, I'm not going to take you through the whole report. I'll put it in the chat because I got something else I got to show you, right? The whole, folks, here's the bottom line. The whole COVID thing was a lie. All of it was a lie. Every bit of it was a lie.
Amen.
Every bit of it. This is the House report. And there are a lot of people follow the money. A lot of people got rich over your family members dying, Martin. Will justice come down like a mighty river? No wonder they don't want Donald Trump back in there. You say, well, Coach, he was right in the middle of it. Yeah, he probably was. I believe he was deceived. I believe he knows he was deceived. We'll find out. So if that's not enough for you, which one is it? Oh, I can't go there. Go to number one. Put it, Roger said, hey, anytime you want something on the show, those links are always in the after show. But if you email me, I'll send them to you, okay? How about this one? Explosive study. COVID vaccines cause 74% of all deaths. When was this written? Oh, September 22nd. 73.9% of all deaths were caused by the vaccine. And you know they're still pushing it now? Still pushing it now? Because they can't back up off it, huh, folks? They cannot, buddy. Those guys who are in control, all of those guys who took money from those pharmaceutical companies, all those guys, all of them, they can't let this come out. 70, if you had a family member who died from COVID, odds are 1 in 4, it was COVID. 3 in 4, that they killed him in the hospital with the treatment. Roger, let's get the attorney in here.
You know, Dave, now that you've said those two studies, I've heard of both of them. Here's my question, and I know there's a simple answer and everybody's got it. There's 6-7 billion. There's 6-7 billion people on the earth. Why did they do? What was the under? Was it to see how far they could control people? Was it really to kill off a couple hundred million when that is nothing, when the population is 7 billion? You know, what was the reason? It puzzles me now still, and I know there seems to be simple answers, but 50 words or less, Dave, what was the reason, the underlying reason?
Because all those who hate me love death.
Boom.
That's why. All those who hate me love death. It's their sacrament. They can't even tell you why they did it. They're of their father, the devil, and the works of their father, they will do.
See, that might be the answer. They don't know why they did it, but they did it.
They don't know why they, well, they know why they did it. They got paid to do it. They got money, which is the love of it, is the root of all evil. They were all bought off. They were all, whether they were lied to, all of them, and they got rich off of it. Because they were lovers of themselves and not lovers of God. They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. From such men, turn away. That's what the Bible says, Ron. We have ungodly men in positions of authority, and they have their own set of rules and regulations and conscience.
You know, I think about the hospitals and the simpleness of understanding how they were getting paid off to do this.
Yep.
I think the school systems, when they were shoving money into the school boards by the tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars, it goes on and on, the government tax dollars that went to pay people to participate.
They're still doing it.
Yeah.
They're still doing it, right? I'm looking as you're talking, Roger. I can't find it. I know it's in here somewhere. Do you know now that they find out? Boy, Lord, help me find that. Do you know they're now finding out that COVID is making men infertile? But not COVID. The treatment of COVID means men aren't producing sperm. Friends, don't miss it. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. The devil's team wants to destroy everything created in the image of God. They don't even know why. They're just of their father, the devil, and the works of their daddy, they will do. Come on in, Kim. By the way, I said Kim would be on today. She'll be on tomorrow. Go ahead, Kim.
Morning, Coach. Thanks. So this is a culture of death that they live in. Okay. And
So the medical industrial complex, it's an industry of death.
There you go.
That's what I believe. And then I also, sorry about my calls going on. Then I also believe that if they will do this with COVID, what else have they been doing to us? How many people have really been dying of cancer? That's just one example of many. And how many of these modern diagnostic tools are really diagnosing real diseases? Let's just think about those things. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You mean to tell me they don't know a cure for cancer? Come on. Come on.
There was actually a doctor in Detroit, Michigan, that was diagnosing people with cancer falsely and treating them knowing that they did not actually have cancer.
Unbelievable. Hey, listen, you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you what you have, don't you? Do you have any proof of it? He tells you what you have.
Boom.
You don't know what? Folks, these are the same doctors that told you to wear a mask and take a jab. The same guys. Because why? They're all prisoners of their own devices. The medical boards, the medical researchers, the paid off medical researchers, the CDC. They creep in unaware. They change the truth of God into a lie. And they worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. Hang on. I see you. I know you want to get in. I got to show you this before I forget. Then I'll get you in here, Joanne. I promise. Are you ready? Pull up number six. Pull up number six. Huh? Who requested 30,000 mail-in ballots from one address in Wisconsin? Huh? I thought there wasn't any cheating going on. I thought there wasn't any. What? In what remains a nail-bitingly close presidential race, fewer than 25,000 votes could decide Wisconsin. Yada, yada, yada. Giving low numbers and high stakes, this week's findings by the Common Sense Election Bogus, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, found out that how many? How many? What's it say at the top? What's this? Scroll down, Spencer. 30,000 mail-in ballots from fake addresses. That's just part of it. Come on, Joanna. Hang on. Wait a minute, Joanne. So look, hey, 2,700 permanently moved out of state. 1,100 moved in a new address. 275 moved away, don't know where they are. 2,300 undeliverable addresses. Oh my God, I could tell you a story about, you know what they do? When those addresses come back, there are people in the post office who gather the returned ballots. Oh yeah. And then they sell them. 442 non-residential business locations, 7,500 missing or wrong apartment numbers, 3,400 duplicate registrations. What? I thought that our elections were clean. Yeah, Ray, vote early and vote often. Huh? Okay, Joanne, come on in. Go to unmute yourself. I think you hung up when she tried to unmute herself.
Unmute myself.
There you go, Joanne.
I'm going back to what you were just talking about, that the VAT is, it says that it's the reason for all deaths. It's not the COVID, it's the VAX.
That's right, it's the VAX. But what they said, Joanne, at least 74% of them could be traced directly to the VAX. Who knows why the other 26% died, but 74% of them directly to the VAX.
There's also projections on how many people will be in each country. And I'm wondering if that's also from how many people take the VAX, if they have those numbers, because they've got it down to a lot, like 67% of America's going to pass away. I don't know. And all the other countries, too. But yeah. Other countries that I'm thinking, if the other countries that didn't have the VAX, they didn't have that drop in mortality.
Amen. I got to show you this. Hide your eyes. Jeff Mayers just sent me this. You probably can't see it. It says, it's a bumper sticker on the back of a car. You know what it says? Unvaxxed sperm, 3,500 a load. I wish it was funny. It's depopulation, folks. See, the church is ignorant of his devices.
Amen.
Because we go to church and they just tell us how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise and happy and slappy and make it through the day. In the meantime, the devil is eating our lunch. Mark Trump, come on in.
Hey, Coach, what happened during the times before Noah? Weren't people getting modified?
Yeah, they were.
And Noah said, I don't want a part of that.
Yeah,
I mean, this is exactly what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun, right, Mark? Same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
Hey, amen. And I wanted to comment briefly on Roger's question as to why this is happening and why they went so far and why it keeps going even after. It's like a ship getting ready to hit a bridge. It can't turn. So how do they turn? How do they turn? Like you said, Coach, they got to stay with the narrative as false as it is.
They have no choice. They have no choice. Friends, that's why they fear Donald Trump. They don't fear Donald Trump. They fear the exposing of themselves. And as long as they can keep somebody in office who is one of them, owned by them, they feel safe. I got so much stuff I could still dump on you today. Come on in. Who hadn't been in? You all been in there. Kim, come on in, and Betty.
Sorry, I had my hand up accident.
All right. Straighten up, will you? Come on in, Betty. Come on in, Mary Beth. You seem to be the only one once in here.
Of interest, I got banned on Facebook from posting videos for 24 days. Isn't that funny? Just right through the election, you know.
Well, that's, by the way, they let Steve Bannon out of jail. You know, they kept him two weeks longer than they were by law were allowed to keep him. Because why? They didn't want, that is election tampering. It's election tampering.
Yep. Yep.
Same reason why they want to lock Trump up. What, folks, those of us who say, well, Trump's part of it. I've never in my whole life seen such a coordinated, multifaceted attack on one person as I've seen on him. Now, if he's playing a role, he gets an Oscar. But they don't want the truth to be exposed. Ray LeBlanc, come on in.
Just a question. Did you get any update from what Randy's doing or not want to share that yet?
Randy doesn't want to share. I don't have one yet, and Randy doesn't want to share it yet. We'll share it when it's appropriate. Adam.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. I got into an argument with a supposed Christian yesterday because they're not voting for Trump. They're praying for a blue wave. And I pretty much just told them then they're not Christian. If you're going to vote for sexual perversion, the mutilation of our kids, for homosexuality, then I'm sorry, but you're not Christian.
That isn't a Christian position, right? Hey, why are they doing that? Because if the trumpet blast is uncertain, who will go to war? The pulpits aren't speaking the truth. And so people don't know. So people are then getting their truth from MSNBC, Fox News. They're getting the truth someplace else because the pulpit doesn't have the stones to tell them the truth.
Amen.
Ralph, come on in. Got to unmute, Ralph.
Amen. Okay, now, you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, the DNA test that they gave everybody at the cars and the hospitals and the clinics, they were using to put that all in a database so they would know where you're at, what you're doing, and when you're doing.
Oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist, Ralph. You're just a conspiracy. They wouldn't do that, Ralph. I've known my doctor. He's been my family doctor for 30 years. He wouldn't do that, Ralph.
Yeah, he would.
He did.
He did.
The ones that you trusted the most have betrayed you. Now.
Hey, Coach, before I leave, thank you for last night's prayers. I appreciate all the people that prayed last night.
Thank you, Ralph, and we're going to do it tonight.
All right, good. I'll hear you. I'll be listening.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. The weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
Wake up, baby. See you tomorrow. See you tonight, 8 o'clock tonight, and then tomorrow.